77 WABC.
Minutes past the hour of two. Good afternoon to you, Dominic Carter and Fort Curtis Lewa. Let's get right to it. I've been waiting for this all afternoon. Joining us on the telephone from his hospital bed to give us an update on his condition is the man himself, Curtis Lewa. Curtis, how are you, man?
Oh, Big Mac Daddy. I feel like I've been hit by an 18-wheel tractor trailer that was going 180 miles an hour.
It's that bad?
Oh, the pain is ruthless at times. But I tell you what, I've had some good news of late, back-to-back, belly-to-belly. As you know, when you're in this kind of condition after major, major surgery that involves your gastronomical area, the surgeons are always focused on just one thing. One thing only. They don't care if you have pain. They don't care if you're climbing the walls. They just keep saying to you, but did you fart yet? Did you fart yet? And so miraculously, 10:48 the other night, I was able to pass gas. You saw the Mexico City Guardian Angels doing Montezuma's Last Revenge.
Yes, I saw it.
And boy, there was joy. But today, it got even better. Because remember that piece that the surgeons removed from me that had been inflamed for the past 2 years with colitis?
Yes.
Ileitis, and then full-blown Crohn's disease. It looked like a 9-inch, I guess you could call it like a Cheeto. Other people obviously have described it in other ways. But they did a pathology test because going into this, the biggest fear that everybody had, and I must admit, including me, was that because I had been inflamed in my stomach areas for 2 years, it could have generated cancer, because cancer either is generated genetically or through some form of inflammation. And I got the test back, and that Cheeto that they took out of my body, the smaller intestine, better known as the terminal ileum, and the part of the bowel that they removed that was attached to it, is cancer-free. So I've signed the papers, Nurse Ratched. Get me the hell out of here as quick as possible before I come down with a disease while I'm here.
Curtis, calm down. You're going to burst one of your stitches.
Oh, I can't do that. I got stitches on the inside. I got staples on the outside. But I will tell you this. During this ordeal of recovery, we had guardian angels taking different shifts outside of my hospital room. And Nancy Regula, my girlfriend, was organizing this. And they had four pictures that they were looking at. People who had threatened me over the years. From the Gambinos, the Gottis, MS-13, and as you know, my battle with Nurse Ratched in the South Ward of Columbian Presbyterian Hospital. They had her picture. She was not permitted in. I told every guardian angel, you see her? She tries to get in here. Body slam her.
So wait a minute. I'm glad that you're back to being you. I'm glad that you're back to being you. But now wait, tell me about this Nurse Ratched.
Well, originally, a week before the surgery, which took place December 13th, I went in to start receiving feeding intravenously through what they call a pick that they put in your arm. It's a very complicated procedure. They have a special team. They're all pretentious a-holes. You know, they think the world was created as they were first birthed.
Curtis, you still need their care and attention. So slow your roll with the criticism, man.
So as I'm sitting there and demanding and letting them know that, hey, Dominic, I have patient rights. What is in that intravenous? What do you got in that syringe? What are you asking me to take? And they're acting like I'm a nuisance, like I'm a menace to society. Nurse Ratched just bum rushes in and says, I'll tell you, my little sweetie, you're not going to be asking questions, because if you don't do and follow orders from headquarters, the surgeons are not going to perform the operation. And I said, well, guess what? I waited 2 years because I had to exhaust every opportunity of first eating foods that I couldn't even pronounce from places I couldn't even find on the map, therapeutic, homeopathic remedies, medicinal remedies, all different forms of remedies, therapies and such. Nothing worked. So surgery is always the last measure. I said, I've waited this long, Nurse Ratched, and I'll wait a little longer. And if you remember, I stormed out of the hospital room, and that caused a lot of mishigash because I just put my foot down and I said, no, I'm not taking that medicine. I'm not taking that painkiller. You can't force me to do anything unless I agree to it. So we had to have a detente. You know, this was sort of like Menachem Begum and Anwar Sadat with Jimmy Carter. You know, the peace accord between Israel and Egypt. We negotiated our differences, and then all of a sudden they shifted me to a different ward a week later, and that's where they performed the operation.
But wait, let's slow down. I want to go back, and I want you to calm down, man. You need these people. But listen, so do you know yet when you will be out of the hospital?
Oh, yeah. As soon as I hang up from you, I'm out of here, pal.
No. Wait a minute, Curtis. Is that what your doctors are advising?
Dominic, where do you think all the doctors and surgeons are today? Do you think they're on duty? Do you think there's anybody around now right before Christmas? God forbid there's an emergency of some type. Every top-rated surgeon or anybody with a shingle of notoriety in a field that they have expertise is gone. They're out of here. And you know what? They got this woman in a gurney ready outside of my room to take my spot. That's right. You know, this is sort of like interchangeable parts here. You're gone. Somebody else is in. Thank you. Slam, bam. Thank you, ma'am. This is our health care.
So
Obamacare or previous to that, health insurance care, it's an industry. And this is the worst time of the year to be in a hospital.
Okay, but you're doing well. The results of the test, because to be honest with you, Curtis, I was really worried when I spoke to Justin Love, your producer, a little while ago, because you know we were waiting for the results of this test, and it could have came back as cancer.
All right, but wait a second, Dominic. You know my history. We've been around the block many, many years.
Yes.
When you first were busting your shoes as a field reporter for WLIB Radio News. When we first met,
yes.
And you were trying to pull the microphone away from me because I kept answering your question for like hours on end. You know, I'm like microphone lice, and you put a microphone or any kind of device into my face. I'm just going to keep talking. That's when we first met. So I've battled the Gottis and Gambinos, the gunshot wounds. I battled prostate cancer. I battled colitis, ileitis, Crohn's disease. You don't think I was willing to take on cancer round two? You know who I had in my back this time, Dominic? I had tactical air support. Dr. Gil Lederman, who reassured me, no surgery, no chemo. If they diagnose cancer in that Cheeto that they took out of you, it does look like a Cheeto, doesn't it? Like a 9-inch Cheeto. Don't worry about it. I got you back. I had every base covered. Now, was I looking forward to being diagnosed with cancer? Of course not. But if it happened, I knew I could whoop it, too.
But why? You're going to make me throw up. Why did you post your intestines?
Because people, they need to discuss these things. Because when they develop stomach ailments in their small intestines, which is where the digestive process takes place, or their large intestines, which generates water, because 60% of your body is water, and naturally that's called the colon, the small intestines is called the ileum, people never discuss it. You know, immediately they shrink in fear, fright, hysteria, and hype about, oh, my God, what's going to happen. You have to let people know there are remedies that you cannot give up. There are people listening to us right now, Dominic, and I heard your last segment right before the top of the hour about the opioid explosion and how many more people are dying now because of opioid abuse or overdosing than are dying from breast cancer, gunshot wounds, suicide, and car accidents. It's horrific. But if you notice, didn't mention anybody dying from using medical marijuana products. Not one person. And yet when I was in the hospital and I was on fentanyl, 10 times more powerful than morphine. I was on morphine. They gave me Vicodin one night. I had a violent experience, almost put my hand right through the wall. And you know, I'm ready to do that half the time anyway. And then I suggested to them, you know, under the rules, the laws of New York State, why don't we try medical marijuana? I qualify. Oh, no. Heavens to Betsy, no. This healthcare system is so arcane when it comes to pain management. They would rather have you suffer, become a junkie to opioids, than to get high on medical marijuana and do pain management in which it curries an appetite and you can actually look forward to having some food instead of always, like for 2 years, I was kind of, you saw me vomiting, Dominic.
Yes. You saw me nauseous.
You saw me having reflux constantly. What kind of a life is that if we know there's a leaf out there that can actually, for some people, provide relief? Hey, F you, Jeff Sessions. F you, Chris Christie. F you, Michael Savage. You don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Curtis, what is wrong with you? You know, I'm almost glad to say that because you're going to be okay. I take it you have not had any food yet.
No, but you know, I got to take it slow because naturally now food will be appetizing to me again. You know what my last meal was for the last few months? Turkey every day. I was growing feathers and Gatorade, but only the fruit punch. Any other Gatorade, and I would feel like vomiting. Any other food, and I couldn't keep it down. So I'll take it nice and slow. I hope to have my family in, Nancy Regula and Anthony, on Christmas Day from 5 to 6. I'm going to do a one-hour live program. Because I know a lot of our listeners, Dominic, on that day, they don't have family. They don't have friends. They're
right.
Shut-ins. They're elderly. They're single. It's the least I can do for everybody out there who is praying for me. And then I'll take the next week off, and I'll come back on January 2nd, ready, you know, two shows a day, and show everybody I took another licking, and I can come back ticking.
Okay, but Curtis, you see, I know you, and I know you're a tough guy, but for a second, you just got emotional and describing coming back here to WABC on Christmas and many people that don't have family. Why does that make you emotional?
Well, it makes me emotional because over the years, this year will be the 27th year that I've done talk radio, and almost all of that at WABC with a few misspent adventures away. What a mistake that was, WNYC and AM 970, The Answer. But for almost all of that time, I was at WABC, which at times the acronym stood for Always Broadcasting Curtis. I've done all kinds of shifts, all kinds of programs, all kinds of events, and I know who our listeners are. And, Dominic, I know on that day, Christmas, for some, it's the most depressing day of the year, and at least for an hour of that day, I want to bring joy to their life as they've brought to me and my family and everything that I do in life beyond the radio station at WABC.
I've never seen you get emotional, but you know, Curtis, I'm almost afraid to ask you this next question because you're so brutally honest. You mentioned your son, and I'm going to ask you about Nancy in 1 second. She's been at your side this entire time. Have you heard from the kids' mothers?
Oh yeah, of course.
Oh well, that's nice.
Yeah, how you doing? With a little bit of that sarcasm in their voice, because remember, Dominic, I'm worth more to them dead than alive if they cash in that life insurance policy.
Okay, let's leave that alone. How's Nancy doing?
Oh, no, she's been just a true angel at my side over the past 2 years. I could never have survived this ordeal. You've seen me at WABC when I fell to the ground.
Yes, I have.
When I was vomiting.
Yes, I have.
And she would be right there and carry me back to the apartment and nurse me back so I could come back the next day. If I didn't have Nancy Regula at my side, I would have crashed and burned. There's no doubt about that.
Curtis, do me a favor. Can you stand by for a minute while we take a commercial break?
Yeah. Well,
okay.
I scream out in the hallway.
No.
Where's the rest of the freaking paperwork so I can get the hell out of here?
Dominic Carter with Curtis Lewa will be right back. But I got to tell you, I'm looking at some of the comments that I have on social media. Pete Snyder says right now, sitting at the curb in the car listening, Curtis sounds stronger than he has in months. Hang in there, Curtis. We miss you, but you need to give yourself time to heal. Will you please do that, Curtis?
Oh, yeah. And what's going to make that process easier is I'm going to be making my enemies list longer than ever before.
Oh, God.
For 2018. It will not only include Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Bruta Cuomo, King Cuomo I, Comrade Bill de Blasio. And yes, finally, we've harpooned the whale. Shamu, El Jefe, Chris Christie will be out of our lives. But now I'll have extra time to make up an extra political enemies list.
Who's on that list? I mean, I believe some people from NYC.
Oh, WNYC. Oh, Lenny Lopez. Oh, the guy who disparaged me when I had to go over there and get exiled from WABC for a few months, who introduced me to the artsy-fartsy audience by saying, oh, Rudy Giuliani, the mayor, has stuck us with the urchin, Curtis Sliwa, who's best known for reading comic books and magazine covers. Well, it's nice to know, Lenny Lope, you perv, you're out of a job. And you notice how so many of these artsy-fartsies, pretentious ones.
Curtis, we have 30 seconds left here, and I want you to have your customary final say. I was ready to come up there and give you CPR, my brother.
No, please, never put your lips on mine, Dominic. I would rather just die right there in peace. But to everyone out there, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and if you have nowhere to go on Christmas, listen 5 to 6. I'll be talking to you live.